And so as we are now into April and able to, I'm not going to touch Roger's stuff, so I'm going to move over here. To be my luck, I will drop one of his finger things. Just move this around. Oh, good. All right. Last time stuff was moved, just stuff was dropped and people stepped on it. So leaving it alone. So we're talking about Passion Sunday. And I love the name Passion Sunday. Even though with Unity, I'm pretty sure Passion Sunday is a little bit different than in traditional or Christianity. Passion Sunday is that Sunday just before Palm Sunday, before we get into the Easter week. And so for Unity, this is the time in our story, the time in our evolution that we call the overcomer. And I know that, and I've said this, I think every year and probably every year that I'm here, I'll say this. Easter, actually, if you have all the holidays, it's actually Easter is my favorite holiday. And most people look at me crazy because it's like, Easter, oh my God, Jesus died on the cross. It was horrific. Especially if you looked at the movie The Passion. It was awful. How can Easter be your favorite? Why isn't it Christmas? Well, as much as I like to enjoy anyone's birth, what I dig about Easter is the fact that we can overcome anything and be reborn anew again. That there's always this opportunity, no matter how we think life is that we can always rise up to the occasion, overcome the transgressions, overcome our hurts, overcome everything, make a change, and evolve into something wonderful and new. And that's really what the overcoming is yes, it's overcoming that, but it's the coming into something new that is the really nugget of this. So Charles Fillmore says that the overcomer is the person who releases all that and recognizes, comes over to the fact about the truth, capital T, not just facts, but the truth of God, the truth that we are the embodiment. We are actually just as Jesus was, the sons and daughters of God. And just like the Jesus story that is mapped out for us, we have an opportunity to expand and to grow because God is and we are. So I'd like to start off with a little Bible story about Jesus, how Jesus truly is our example. And it is something known as the temptation of Christ. You know, it says the temptation of Christ. That's in the movies, it's the temptation of Christ. In the Bible, it says the temptation of Jesus. The reason why I make that point is because Jesus evolves into the truth of himself, just like we all are. So Jesus, ultimately, even in the Bible, yes, the Bible says he was the Son of God. We know that we all are. In Unity, we designate that Jesus, metaphysically, metaphorically, and physically, is a human being. He is a man of the carpenter's son. He is blood, he is flesh, and he was born from a woman. The reason why I make that is because with that, we can grab a hold of Jesus. We can understand because we can identify with the man, yes? We can identify with it, but to be able to truly identify with that which is God, that's what we grapple with, and that's what we're here to continue to recognize. That is the whole story of Jesus. That is the beauty of the Easter story, because Jesus, throughout his ministry, that is what he kept telling the disciples, and that's what he kept telling his disciples to tell to everyone, that the truth is that we are all overcomers. Here's a part of the temptation of Jesus that started off his ministry, and I believe also showcases how he is the overcomer, just like we are. Now, it starts off with Jesus. If you go to your Bible stories, if you are the ones who with the Bible story in your background, that Jesus went to Moses and was baptized, and as soon as he came up from being dunked in the river a dove came, the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Bible says that that when Jesus was baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God, be the Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice boomed out of heaven and said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am pleased." And interestingly enough, God, as soon as the Spirit of God said, "This is my Son, who I love so dearly, I'm so blessed with," led him into the desert, into the wilderness. So that, and it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I find that interesting. I think that's where we all kind of get blindsided, thinking that God is there to give us a 2x4, little sentences like that. But really, what we teach here is that what happens is that once you become cleansed, once you become purified, ultimately what happens? The world comes crashing down. The world, obviously, because it's a paradigm that it's a new paradigm. And so we come shining bright, but the world hasn't shifted yet. Our consciousness hasn't met with the manifestation yet. And so once we come through, all of a sudden anything and everything to prove against this bright, new, shining thing comes to fruition. And that's what's happening here with the temptation. So he's fasting 40 days and 40 nights, similarly to how we are going through the Lenten season, yes? We are not fasting the true fast here, which was he was not eating anything, for it says that he was famished. We are feasting in our Lenten season of negative thoughts, negative connotations, negative feelings. We are fasting from those elements and taking them out of our head. And it says the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Now imagine yourself, 40 days, 40 nights, all you have been doing is fasting on the good word. You've been praying and meditating. You've been lifting up, clearing your thoughts and mind. And as soon as that 40 days is up, and you're ravenous for the truth. You're ravenous for the greatness, the goodness of God to emerge upon you. What usually happens, and it's a human thing, your mind kind of, you can also say legitimately after 40 days and 40 nights out of eating, he might have been delirious. That's a possibility. But here, metaphysically, we're looking at a sense of, it's a crystallization. It's a chemicalization. It's something brand new going up against something old. And when a new life happens, when we are bringing forth and releasing the old stuff, it kind of want to boomerangs back. And so in here, in his mind, things boomerang back. He was tempted. He was hungry for this truth. And yet it said, if you are really as good as you think you are, prove it. Take this rock and transform it magically into something else. Jesus replied, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." We don't need the material things. We don't need all of that. All we need to do is continue to keep ourselves open and aligned to the presence and the word of God, which will guide us through and past everything. It is through the word of God that we will continue to be purified and cleansed. And then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle, a high place, on a temple, of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your feet against stone." You know, we forge, we release, we let go, even in the new year. In some way, somehow, we always kind of go back to our old ways. And then we kind of go, oh. But it was written, though, that I am, and so I'm going to test it. I'm going to try it out. But we always kind of half-heartedly try it out. And this is what's going through Jesus' head. It's the battle that he is going through with himself. You know, I've said this before, and I said this last week, that we can look at the Bible, when we read the Jesus story, as we can look at these things happening outside of Jesus, or we can look at these things happening within Jesus. Metaphysically, when we look at these things happening within Jesus, i.e., as I'm saying, that he's having his own internal battle with the devil, with his ego, with the worldly thoughts, then we can grab a hold of it as well. Because here is a man just like us who is trying to transform, who is trying to evolve into the truth of who he is, the Christ consciousness. And in doing that, he has to overcome himself. He has to overcome his mind and the thoughts of the world, just like we have to overcome. Because here is Jesus realizing the truth ever so much. And so with each temptation, he reminds himself of the word of God. Jesus said to the devil within himself, the ego, that word that keeps trying to fight against him. Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the splendor. And he said to him, all of these, the riches of the world, the mountains, all of these, I will give to you. All you need to do is fall down at my feet and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. See, this is what an overcomer does. It isn't that stuff doesn't happen. We are in the world. Stuff will always happen. It's a matter of not holding on to the supposed truths of our physical body, of our mind, of what other people tell us that we can or cannot do. It is overcoming that to going over to the truth that all we need is God. And God will set us free. As the example here on Jesus, as we go through the trials and tribulations of the heartache of our minds, as we go through the fight and the battle of the good versus the evil, all we need to do is make a decision to say, I am not going to stay here. I am going to travel here because I can and I will overcome the limitations of the world. I can and I will overcome the limitations of my mind. I can and I will overcome anything and everything that is holding me back from the truth of who I am. And the truth of who I am is... the truth of who you are is who? Amen. The truth in who I am, the truth in who all of us are, is the Christ. And here is the example of when, right after this, Jesus, right after that, started his ministry. He was cleansed and purified by the baptism. He struggled with his own consciousness as he was going through his own purification for the 40 days and 40 nights to clear his mind out of the gook. And at the last part of it, during the last part, when he was ready to step forward in his truth, he had the final battle within himself. He released it. And as soon as he released it, what did it say? The angels, the words of God came to him to help him, to serve him. They waited on him. That's an interesting way of saying it. The devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. They served him. Really, that's really what God does. It wasn't waited, like wait, you know, stop in the name of love. No, it was giving service, giving the word. What is it you need, my son? I am so proud of you. What is it that I can serve up to you so that you can do the ministry that you are about to do? Beloveds, no matter what you are doing, I know that word ministry is a frightening one. I told Queen Esther back, not, sorry, that is Queen Esther, Isabel, in class, that she was a lay minister. I think her eyes popped out a little bit, because she is. I recognize a lot of lay ministers. And the truth be known, I recognize a lot of lay ministers because we are all lay ministers. Because the truth is, we are all here to overcome the limitations of the world and recognize that we are the Christ and move forward to doing that. We are here to rise up above our limitations. We are here to be the truth. And the first thing we need to do is to recognize that the world, yes, it could be a dark, it can be a dark place, but the truth is that this world is meant to be heaven. And the way that we can move forward to that heaven is to see that heaven is within us. It is within our consciousness. It's within our hearts. And once we come aligned to it within here, within this house, within this temple, once we see it here, then we will see it out there. Individually, once we see it here, we will see it out there. And no matter what is happening in the world, we will still see heaven as the light that is surpassing all understanding. We will see heaven as the truth, even though darkness seems to come. It's only temporary, because light always illumines and darkness always fades away. And so we come to this earth, born humans, but we are more than humans. An overcomer also recognizes that you're a spiritual being. We are human, yes, but we are spirit. And, not a but, and we are spirit. Because the Spirit of God reigns supreme in every component of us. And then we, once we truly recognize this element, we realize that the pain that we've gone through in this life is only temporary. Any pain is only temporary. It might last a minute, it might last an hour, a day, it might even last a year, but the truth is that the darkness will always fade away, because the light and love of truth is our truth. It is time for us to become conscious that we all are overcomers. Because strength doesn't come from what you can do. It will always come from what you have overcome. And this world is ready to be overcome. And we are the ones to overcome it. We are the ones to step into our truth. We are the ones who, once we realize it, we can intellectualize it as much as we want. But once we put it into our heart and have an equal balance between agreement between our heart and our mind and say, I'm not going to try it. I'm not going to just believe it. I'm not going to feel it. I am going to do it. I am going to step into it. I'm going to cross over. I'm going to come out of the closet. I'm going to open the door, open the drapes, whatever symbol you want to use. Just do it, because you have the power. You don't just have the power. You are the power. Because each and every one of us are the power of God. We just need to do something about it, because the power of God, we're not zombies. And the grace of God isn't going to just take over us. It is a free will. We have a free will to develop however we want to develop. Now let us choose in that free will to do what is ours to do. So what is an overcomer? What are the three elements that we need to truly move over into our overcoming? First is to be a risk taker. I know most of us don't like to take risks because it's scary. Jesus took a lot of risk, and you see what happened to him. But the truth is that even with all those risks, with all those things, he overcame and evolved into the truth of what we're all supposed to be. So step out and follow God, even when it's not normal, the normal flow, because realize normality. Do we really want to be normal in this world? I mean, truly, look at what normal is nowadays. I really digest what is normal. And it's time to take risks. to say, I don't want to be normal anymore, because normal is abnormal. Normal in this world at this point in time is violence. That's abnormal. Normal in this place and time is not recognizing the fruits and dominion that we have of this beautiful world that can feed us and that we're one with it. We continue to think that we're separate. It's time for us to realize as an overcomer that we're going to take the risk to be abnormal and to follow the footsteps of Jesus, because Jesus truly was. Truth is that he moved forward. He took the risk. He dared to challenge the Pharisees. He dared to challenge the world as they knew it at that time. As he stepped into his greatness, as he stepped into his ministry, he said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do the law because you said it's the law and just be the letter of the law. What we're choosing to do is to overcome it. He said that he's not here to destroy the law. He is here to fulfill it. The truth is that we are all here not to destroy laws, but to fulfill the laws of truth, God's laws of love, God's laws of creation, of beauty, of joy for everyone, not just one, not just for some, but for everyone. Second, to be a visionary. Visionaries look out and see what is out, the possibilities. They don't live there. You look out to see the possibilities, the fruits of everything, so that right here, right now, you can alter yourself, come in, step into the present moment to actualize what needs to be actualized for that brilliant, beautiful future that God wants, which is heaven here on earth. It is doing things like we're talking about right now, cleansing your mind of the negativity, of the anxieties, of all the ook and gook in our minds, and fortifying it with the presence of God's love, allowing God to guide us through every step and accepting that guidance, which is exactly what Jesus did. He was a visionary. He looked out for the people. He went here for right now. He saw the glory of God. He preached the glory of God to each and every person and said, God is here. World is good. Love is good. Everyone is good. We just now need to fall in line to move forward with it. Lastly, the third quality is to be outrageous. I like Sam's laugh. To be outrageous, yes. Because I can tell you as a board member and being part of the more, Sam is outrageous. It's a beautiful quality. Have you ever thought it? To be outrageous is to be able to break the mold, to be your own individual expression of God. Truly, Jesus was outrageous. He was a rebel. I mean, really, when you think about the story of Jesus, and one of the reasons why the Fillmores didn't want to get rid of the Christian component of the story, because they liked how Jesus showed us the way. And if you look at all the Bible stories of Jesus, he was outrageous enough to realize that the presence and power of God was within him and all around him. He was outrageous enough to believe and know that he could heal the dead. He was outrageous enough to realize that he could heal leprosy. He could heal anything. He could tell someone to get up out of your bed and walk, and they would do it. He was outrageous enough to believe that he could teach anyone and everyone the secrets of how to do this. He was outrageous, and we need to be outrageous enough to know that we too can do the same things. We too are born of the substance that Jesus was, and that we too need to overcome that these things that Jesus said that I have done, ye can do also, and even greater things. It is written in the Bible that Jesus said, these things that I have done, ye can do also, and even greater things. It's time for us to stop looking at the second coming of Jesus in the body and look at the second coming as us individually, stepping into our greatness, overcoming the challenges, and stepping over into the truth that we are Christ, that we are the ones, we are the hands, we are the feet. That it is not what you have done. It is truly what you have overcome, crossed over to become. And the sooner we consent to accept the fullness of this regeneration, this evolution of us moving from man to spirit, the truth of who we are, the sooner we all not only will enter into the presence of heaven, but will create heaven. For I leave you with this. If you hear a voice say you cannot do it, turn around and say, watch me. If you hear a voice within yourself that says you can't do it, go to a mirror and say, watch me. Because truly, each and every one of us are overcomers. And so in your bulletin, you will find our affirmation, for our denial and affirmation for today. And the denial is, while you're looking for it, I'll just read it. I release and let go of ideas of my limitation. The affirmation, I affirm my freedom to express the Christ perfection within me, which was taken directly from Keep a True Lent. So if you've found it, please repeat after me. I release and let go of ideas of my limitation. I affirm my freedom to express the Christ perfection within me. I love that. I affirm my freedom. It is your freedom. It is your right. It is your inheritance to express the Christ perfection within you. And so it is. Amen. Mm-hmm.